Taking notes, the title of this sermon is Overcoming Our Number One Enemy. Overcoming Our Number One Enemy. And Satan gets blamed for this one a lot. But he doesn't show up unless we get this number one enemy in check. And we'll see here in just a second why. But in Genesis 25, verse 21, and of course these are real people that we're reading about. But a lot of times God took real people and had them written about and had it recorded and of course kept it, I guess, pure for us and down through the ages so we could read about these stories. And a lot of stories have what people might call a type in it. This is a type of Christ, or this is a type of the devil, or this is a type of the world, and things like that. And so this story definitely has a type in it. Again, we don't want to say, okay, it was just a made-up story because of the type. It's both. They were real people, and they were created just like you and I were. They had free choices and free wills just like we do. And the story about them, I guess, just like we've heard, I don't know if you've ever listened to Unshackled before. It's kind of a story about maybe a drunkard or an alcoholic or somebody that had an issue but got saved and the Lord turned their life around and they were unshackled. And so you can learn some principles from that life. And that's what this story is about. In verse 21, it says here, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife." And so he was praying, obviously, for her and asking God because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And so we see that God listened to his prayer. Of course, we have many examples of praying in the Bible. Hannah prayed. Different people prayed for different things. There was prayed for the sun to stay still and shine for a little bit longer, and God granted that. And there was praying for 10 more years of life, and God granted that, and so forth. So we have lots of examples in the Bible of prayer. And so here's one. This lady had not been able to have a baby for a while. And of course, in the story, God had already told him that they were going to have, and so he was like, okay, Lord, help. And so Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And so, of course, this is a story about twins. And I have twin granddaughters. They're double trouble, as a lot of twins get tagged with, and they definitely are. Some of you have twins and your grandkids and so forth, things like that. But they're sweet and nice too. But anyway, we see here she had twins inside of her, and they struggled within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. So she's now praying to the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb." And it says here, "Two manner of people shall be separated." So we see here a struggle inside of her womb. And then there was two manner of people here. And they were going to represent and be a type of and so forth. And it says that thy bowels and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And so again, we're not going to read it tonight, but we'll see. Or you know this story about this, when these two boys get older, the dad was on his deathbed, and of course the younger, with the help of his mother, tricked the dad into giving him the birthright instead of the older person, things like here. But God had already said this was going to happen, so he didn't have to trick him. A lot of times if God says something, he'll do it. We don't have to help God out. We don't have to get ahead of him and so forth and things like that. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about that struggle within. There's two people inside there, and they're struggling. And it goes on to say, "Be stronger than the other person, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel." So I guess he was grabbing hold of him and saying, "I'm coming too." And his name was Jacob, and Isaac was 80 and years old and when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And so that's where we'll stop reading tonight. But we're going to look at the type of struggle of the two inside. Now, we don't have twins inside of us. unless there's somebody we don't know about, but we don't have twins inside of us, but we do have, if you're saved. If you're not saved yet, you don't have this conflict going on inside of you yet. But if you are saved, you've been born again, you know you're going to heaven. Inside of you is a struggle, just like this one right here. Sometimes this one would win, sometimes this one would win, and so forth. And we can testify of that. We have what the Bible describes this struggle of our old nature, our flesh, and our new nature, our spirit, our saved soul. And there's a struggle going on inside of us all the time. Now, obviously, I remember when my daughter-in-law, Jessica, was giving birth to twins. She was a little larger than when Colton was there just by himself. And you could actually see the movement a little bit more than one time, one person. You could see her stomach go, whoop, and she'd be like, oh my goodness. Why? Because there were two. You get a little boom, boom kick every once in a while, and you might see the shirt move or whatever. But if there's two in there, it's like moving around, like going to town. And so we see, that's what he was saying in the Bible here, that there was a struggle going in there. And so our worst enemy, or our number one enemy that we have to overcome is the person that we look at in the mirror every day. Why? Because we are twins. We have a struggle going on inside of us. Now, again, we're not obviously two different people, me, myself, and I type stuff. But we do have an old nature and a new nature. And typically, I've heard preachers and teachers on this subject say, whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. That just makes sense. I've heard preachers say you have a black dog and a white dog, and you feed the white dog and you don't feed the black dog. If they get in a scrimmage or skirmish out there in the yard, the white dog's going to win every time. And if you do that, reverse it, feed the black dog for a couple weeks and don't feed the white dog if they got in a fight, the black dog's going to win. Why? Because the strength he has, the food that he has, the supply that he has. So we have those two natures inside of us, and there's going to be a fight pretty much every day, all day. If you have twins, that's what they do. They fuss and fight. Maybe they get along when they're sleeping. But they want to be the first one, or they want to have the most, or they want to have this. And it's a struggle. And so that's what God is showing us here in this type, that we have two natures inside of us, and they are going to struggle and struggle and struggle, and we have to overcome that enemy. So Isaac here was 40 years old, and his wife Rebecca just had these two boys. And it says here, they were real people. They weren't, again, even though it's a type and a figure here, they were still there. So what we have to do is realize if we're going to overcome our number one enemy, number one, every believer, talking about a saved person, has two natures. The saved person has two natures. We have the old nature, or the Bible calls it the old man, or our flesh. We have the new nature, the new man, or our spirit, our saved soul. Genesis 25:22, it says right there, and the children struggled together within her. So we are never going to be able to get these two natures out of us until we get our new body in heaven. So it's going to be a struggle for the rest of our life down here on the earth, and we've got to suppress the one and feed the other. So we see here these two had struggled before they were even born, and they continued to be that way throughout their whole life. And it says here, studies show that they never experienced anything new, but everything falls into 35 categories. And so basically what they're saying is that, I'm experiencing this, and then nobody has ever experienced this. We can't say that. Most studies say that everything that we face is going to fall into 35 categories. And the way they say this, I've heard people say this, same play, different actors. You've seen stuff that's a remake. And it's the same story, but it's, different actors. And so, again, a lot of times we could say, well, no, my struggle is different than yours. No, you have an old nature and a new nature, and you're going to struggle with it. I have an old nature and a new nature, and I'm going to struggle with it. That's just the way it is. And the examples they give on this, I didn't see the list of 35, but they say that, same play, different actors. They say statements like this: history repeats itself. Deja vu all over again, as he would say, and things like that. But why? Because everyone has those two natures. That's why we keep experiencing the same thing over and over. Why? Because it's a struggle. Nobody ever overcomes it. Nobody ever has one nature. It's just repeating over and over. So why does this happen? And we could say, well, I don't know. How am I going to handle this? What we got to realize is that hundreds of people, hundreds of years before we were even here, went through something similar to what we're going through. Maybe not exactly the same, but because we have two natures. Their examples were this. There's 26 letters in the alphabet, but there's millions and millions of books written, but they use those same 26 letters to formulate it, just over and over and over. Everything comes from that same plan, that same belief. There's seven notes in the music world, and there's been millions of songs that's been written, played, and sung, but from those same seven notes, over and over and over and over again. And then there's a, I don't know about this one, but you know, some of you might know this, but there's three basic colors, and every color comes from that that hue or that shade, and they make that, and that's why all the colors that we have in the world go back to those same three. So every circumstance, every experience, every situation that we're going to come about or derive from, it's all going to be how you handle it with those two natures. That's just over and over and over. So every believer has two natures. Number two, every believer has that number one enemy. If you're saved, you have your old nature still. You can't get rid of it. Your flesh is still there. My number one enemy is that person that I shave every morning. And that's why that there's such a problem in the day of Judges. If you read in the Bible, there was problem after problem after problem. It seemed worse than even what we go through in our life. Why? Because everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. What were they doing? Everybody in the day of Judges was feeding the old man, doing what the old nature said. They were doing that which seemed right in their own eyes. God wasn't in the picture. And so that's why it made it worse. And so you can look at Sodom and Gomorrah. You can look at the day of Judges. And why? Because people were doing what the old nature wanted to do, and that made it worse. In our day and time, praise the Lord, I think God can still find 10 righteous people in our world. That's why He hadn't destroyed it like He did Sodom and Gomorrah. And I think He could find even 50 and even more. And so that's why the God's hand of judgment has stayed. Why? Because there are people that are feeding the new nature, trying to do what God wants them to do. So here's an example. Rome was once the most powerful nation in the world. No one dared to conflict with Rome. They were bigger. They had larger armies. They had the most money. Sound familiar? All right. They had the control over the people. But Rome fell. Why? Because more people started feeding the old nature than they did the new nature. Edward Gibbon says here, nobody in the world could have ever defeated Rome but herself. Sound familiar? Because of her wickedness, immorality, uncleanliness, greed, selfishness, her craving of more and more and more pleasure. Sound familiar? And down went Rome. Why? Because that's what happened. They started wanting all those things instead of what God wanted. So there is such a possibility that every human is going to be it can be just like the Roman Empire. But if you get your heart fixed, like the Bible says, or get your relationship with God fixed, like the Bible recommends, no circumstances, no situation will ever overcome you. Why? Because He says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. So if we take and feed that new man, that saved man, that one that's got God's help, we can handle any circumstance, any situation, any disability, any enemy. Won't be a problem. Why? Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So we can face... If we can face that fact honestly, evaluate it in light of the Scripture, we can definitely have the victory over it. Solomon put it this way. In Proverbs 25:28, it says this, He that hath no rule over his spirit, talk about that new man. He that hath no rule over that of his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Back in ancient Bible times, that's what they did. You had the walls of Jericho. That was a wall around that city. And what was it for? For protection. Any city that didn't have walls around it back then, anybody that was traveling, whatever kind of person, they could break in and steal, the Bible says. So in ancient times, if they didn't have that wall of protection, anybody could come in with no issue at all and steal and rob. So that's what the Bible saying is. Okay, number one, Everybody has two natures. Number two, every believer has that number one enemy, that self, that old nature. Number three is every believer must have that protective wall if they want to stay safe. So God is saying here, you're going to just keep repeating mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake if you don't recognize you got the old nature, if you don't start feeding the new nature, and if you don't put that protective wall around you. The devil can just come in and just take you. That's why the Bible talks about how when the seed sown, that some fell on hard ground and it didn't take and they didn't get saved and they just went on their life and they were unsaved. There were some that they got it in there a little bit, but then the weeds came and choked it out. That's what it's talking about. That new nature got choked out by the old nature. The old nature was stronger. And so we've got to put that protection around us. So Isaiah 28:10 says this, "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." What he was saying, Isaiah was saying, what you got to do is take that spiritual, I guess spiritual truth brick or spiritual brick of truth, and you got to put it down there. And then put it down there. And then put it down there. Of course, we all understand the bricks and stacking them up and for safety. And what it's saying is that a spiritual brick of truth on every spiritual brick of truth, and then another one, and then another one, and I've built a spiritual wall of protection around me, and it will protect me. So, it's basically saying this in a nutshell. I picked up a brick at Sunday school. Then I got right after Sunday school, I went to the morning service and I heard some more Bible preaching and teaching, and I got me another brick and I put it down and I put it down. And then I went back that night and I heard another message and I heard some more teaching out of the Word of God, and I got me another precept and I went and I put it in my life. And then I went back Wednesday night like you guys and there's another brick, and we put it there. And you just do that over and over and over, and then you're inside that protective wall. Again, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations so we can say, you want to be miserable. All right, that's what we want all Christians to do. You're trapped. You're inside a wall to have no fun. No. What we want is a spiritual brick of truth, of protection. And we build that wall and we stay inside. It's kind of like the little chihuahua inside the fence. And the Rottweiler goes down the sidewalk on the outside of the fence. That little chihuahua inside that fence, he's doing this. I mean, he's like, man, if you were inside this fence, I'd take you out, all right, to that Rottweiler. Why? Because he's inside the fence. He's protected. Okay, but if the owner left the gate open, it'd be a different story. The little chihuahua to the Rottweiler would be a Scooby snack. Boom, and it'd be it. That's exactly the way we are. If we get outside that fence of protection, we can tell the devil, oh, man, I can live, I can do. He can take us out like that. He would definitely be a Rottweiler, and we would be the chihuahua, and David would take us out. But what we do is we find biblical principles, and we build that wall of protection, kind of like this. The first time we heard the story of David and Goliath, it faintly impressed on us a little bit. Little kid, slingshot, rock, giant, dead. We got the basic premise. But then the second time we heard it, it got impressed on us a little bit more. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And we've heard it all of our life. And it became a part of our life that we know, regardless of what giant we face, we got a God that can direct that rock and hit that giant right where he needed to be hit, and he could take care of it. So if we go through life and we're like, oh, my soul, there's a Goliath of a heart attack. God can take care of that. There's a Goliath, and we heard it even here tonight. There's a Goliath of cancer. God can take care of that. There's a Goliath of, down in Florida right now, there's some homes being destroyed. But God's still a God that can take care and keep people safe. There's been car wrecks. There's been betrayal of friends and loved ones. There's been terrible situations that come into our life. But if we fed that new nature enough, we know, hey, God, this is big. This is like a giant in my life. I don't know if I can take it down. But you helped David take out Goliath, so I can do all things, how? Through Christ. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to feed that new nature. So David, he couldn't help. He couldn't have defeated Goliath on his own, but he did like God. He did let God help him. And just like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. So we see, number one, every believer has two natures. Number two, every believer has that number one enemy, ourself, our old nature, and our flesh. Number three, we have to put that protective wall so that we can stay safe. Number four, every believer has to ignore the world's solutions for those problems. Okay? The world wants to tell your old nature how to handle it. And what we've got to do, we've got to ignore it. It's kind of like when you are dating maybe two girls at one time, and you're kind of deciding which one am I going to like lean towards, and you decide you got to ignore any text that you get from the old girlfriend. All right, you got to ignore any phone calls you might or letters. Why? Because this is it. This is your wife now. All right, you know she's not going to understand. Well, I talked to my old girlfriend today. Where? Oh, I took her out to lunch. What? All right, you're living dangerously. And so we have to decide. So that's what the world's going to do. The world's going to tell you how to handle the problem that you're facing through that old nature. We'll give you some examples. Again, psychologists, psychiatrists, our social programmers out there today, they all say that we must express ourselves. This is one of their key phrases. Just express yourself. I mean, the kid flopping and doing, you know, looks like he's having a seizure in the Walmart floor because you wouldn't get him a toy. Oh, he's just expressing himself. Don't mind him. My dad never heard that story before. All right. Express nothing. He tore my tail up. You know, it wasn't Walmart back then. It was Kmart. But I got a spanking in Kmart. Amen. So I didn't express myself. And so that's what they said. Oh, just, you know, express yourself. Don't worry about the situation. Just cry or pitch a fit, break something, throw something, cuss something. This is what they're doing. Express yourself. This is how the old nature wants to fix it. So if I throw, cuss, stomp, pitch a fit, and then I come right back over here in real life, it didn't fix the situation. Right? The situation's still there. But if I feed the new nature and say, God, how do you want me to handle this? You trust me with it. Okay. All right, this is what we're going to do step by step. You keep doing right. That's going to help. Expressing yourself not. So we've got to ignore the world's situations and solutions of all these things. So they say take the restraints off. They say if you want something, roll up your sleeves and go after it. That sounds pretty good. I've always heard work for whatever you want. But let's finish what they say. If you want something, just roll up your sleeves and go after it, even if it belongs to somebody else. That's what they're saying. You know, you claim it. Right? Take it. And so forth. And then they say, you know, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine. If it feels good, do it. Do your own thing. So we've got to ignore the world's solutions to these problems. There's another crowd that says, okay, yeah, you're not supposed to express yourself. And they say, suppress yourself. And that's where you get all these wackadoos, all right, that, you know, they have no emotion. Right? Okay? The new nature has emotion. So does the old nature. But we need to feed the new nature and have that type of emotion. Suppress that one. Express this one. So we see that you must suppress yourself. You got to be in control of yourself. You got to discipline yourself. You got to suppress your feelings. You've got to suppress your anger. Right? These are the same kind of people that would say you can work your way to heaven. Let's build a tower and we'll just get there. In other words, they just leave God out of the situation. That's what these people are saying. If you suppress it, oh, you got to get to where you can control it. You got to get to where you can discipline yourself. And this is work salvation. Or you think you can work out any situation without God? Both. Expressing ourselves. If it's old nature, or we suppress ourselves if it's old nature, both are wrong. We have a certain guidelines that we have to keep. In other words, we have laws in this nation. Right? We have the Bible in Christianity that keep us in line. So when I get ready to express myself and I'm sitting in a red light, and the red light says I'm not supposed to go, but I want to express myself with smoke and noise, and I express myself through the intersection. I mean, all kinds of stuff can go wrong there. T-boned, death, a ticket. but I was just expressing myself. That never worked for me. How fast do you think I clocked you? Well, I was just expressing myself, sir or ma'am. All right. Oh, okay. My bad. Go ahead. No. Expressing ourselves does not fix anything. It makes it worse. You know, my dad told me, go clean your room. No, I'm not going to. Dad, I was just expressing myself. All right. I have my rights. I have privileges. I want to do my own thing. I don't care what the law says. Those laws. So in other words, what we have to do is ignore what these psychologists and, you know, all these people that say you got to express yourself. We got to ignore that. Why? Because we have a new nature. So if we express ourselves enough in that way, we will be suppressed. In other words, if I keep speeding and running enough, you know, red lights, I could suppress myself into a little 9x9. You can't drive. You can't obey the law. So you're going there. Or I could be dead. Listen to what James 4:1-2 says. From whence come wars and fighting? Where? Those two natures. That's why it's just repeating. You know, again, out there you have drugs, you have alcohol, you have sexual sins, you have this same play, different actors. Why? Because you have two natures trying to express itself, suppressing if it's even there. And James 4 says, whence cometh these wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that you war in your members, inside your body? You're warring. Verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war. What's happening here is you're feeding, you know, you're not feeding the new nature and suppressing the old nature. You're feeding the old nature and suppressing the new nature, and there's all that's what was going on. So expressing yourself, again, not necessarily a good thing unless it is the new nature. J. Edgar Hoover, obviously a long time ago, read you a statement from him. Says here, for years we have listened to some psychologists saying that discipline and control were bad for children, for they should be left to an uninhibited to work out their own life's patterns, their own self-discipline. But you don't acquire self-discipline if you've never learned what discipline is. Neither can life's problems be worked out without experience, which can only be secured only through hard knocks and by guidance from experience of other people. Now, we are reaping the harvest, and this is the result of an evil notion of self-expression. We have been sowing to the wind, and now we are reaping the whirlwind. We have now begun to feel the full fury of the blast that for ere the last restraints of the World War II have been lifted, which shall undoubtedly come upon unprecedented days of evil. And so, of course, that was said a long time ago. But it's kind of like I've read lately some sermons that were written or preached back in the 70s. You could preach them today, and they would fit perfectly. Now we're reading history, and it sounds like he's talking about today. Why? Those two natures are not in check, and they're just running rampant, and it's the same thing over and over and over. So, I think it's even worse today, and it says in the Bible it's going to be worse and worse. Wasn't as many mass shootings back then as we have today. What's going on? Old nature, running rampant. I don't know if there was as much human trafficking back then as there is today. What's going on? Old nature, running rampant. Or no, not even a new nature at all. Turning from God to do your own thing. What in the world's going on? Old nature, being fed. So expressing yourself is not the right way. No discipline. Suppressing yourself is not the right way either. Too much mean, militant, bless God. Here's the key. Matthew 15:19-20. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnessing, and blasphemies. These are the things that defile man. So out of the heart. So again, I'm all for discipline. I'm all for suppressing a bad attitude. I'm all for that. But again, just because we discipline the kid or discipline ourselves, suppress the kid, or suppress ourselves, not going to fix anything. We got to get their heart. A lot of kids behave because they don't want this to be warmed up. But this is still as wicked as it can be. They're just behaving when mom and dad's around. I was that way. Okay, but God's always around. This is what we got to get. Yeah, get this a little bit when needed. Get this a little bit when needed. But you got to get this. Why? Because it's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Out of the heart comes thoughts of murder and adultery. So if you can get this, you got some hope. The world's going after this. The wickedness out there is going after this. This is what we got to get. And the first thing you got to do is get him saved. Get Jesus in the heart. So we see here not just the need of discipline and not just the need of suppression, but we need to get the heart. Galatians 5:19 and 21 says this, "Now the works of the flesh," talking about the old nature, "are the manifest," this is when they're coming out, "which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." All that's going on out there in our nation with adults and kids, it's because the old nature is running rampant. There's not a new nature in there, so definitely no help. But if you can get that new nature in there, there's still going to be a battle. And whichever one we feed the most, whichever one we listen to the most, is how we're going to handle situations. So just as suppressing is like, it's like a steam in a boiler. If you don't let it out, it's going to explode. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of times we try to fix the problem by suppressing it. Go to your room. They're in there. They're about to explode. So we need to go in there and work on this. Do you know God loves you? Do you know I love you? Do you know the Bible says that I'm supposed to raise and correct things like that? Go after this. Do what I said because I said so. You got to do this because God's Word says so. And I want God to bless you. And you got to feed that new nature. That's what they need to have. I'm for all of it. The Bible tells us to spank. The Bible tells us to teach, things like that. But you got to go after this. Just suppressing it, it's going to be exploded. So expressing ourselves or suppressing ourselves is not the answer. What is? Number one, every believer has two natures. If you're saved, you're on the right track. My oldest son and daughter, they're teaching in a Christian school, and you know, school just started, and they're like, "Oh my goodness." You know, first couple weeks everybody acts like an angel, right? And then they figure out the teachers and their what they will let them get away with, things like that. So that's where they are now. And they're like, "Oh, so and so is about to make me pull my hair out." And Jason don't even have any hair. But anyway, this is. But yesterday, Jason was able to lead two of those seventh graders that's driving him absolutely nuts to the Lord after a chapel service. Amen. Today, Jessica was able to lead two of those third graders to the Lord right after a chapel service. And I was like, "Now you're heading that way. You got some inside help. All the rules suppressing, all the don't you express yourself when there's only one nature, you're banging your head against the wall. But now that they got a Holy Spirit inside of them and you got two natures, that's now you can draw from it." And so the key is you got to get them saved and then you got to let them know, hey, there's two natures now. And that number one enemy is your old nature, your flesh, your self. And we got to build a protection around us with Scripture. And we got to ignore the world solution of express. You know, they're just expressing themselves. Whew, goodness gracious. We can see what that's brought into our world. Number five, every believer has to strengthen the new nature stronger than the old nature. Romans 6:13, "Neither yield ye your members," still talking about inside, that struggle, "as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God, as those that are alive from the dead," you've been saved, "and your members as instruments of righteousness." So again, just like all of us, if you got saved later in life, if you put, tons of effort in serving the devil and serving your flesh and doing what the world and the party crowd says, and you get saved. You still got all that energy. You still got all that time. You still got all that ability. What do we got to do? We got to bring it over here, and we got to, as much bad music as we listen to some good music. As much bad as we did, let's do some good. That's what you got to do. You have to put it in there. So we have to feed that, and that's what it says here. Yield your members of righteousness. It'll help you. So once you're saved, you have to express the new nature, suppress the old nature. Last one, Matthew 16:24. I am a man with which come after me. If any man will come after me, this is Jesus speaking, let him deny himself, that old nature, and take up his cross and follow me. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, that old nature. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, this old nature, but Christ liveth in me, that new nature. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now he's expressing himself with that new nature. I'll repeat them all one more time and we'll be done. Every believer has two natures. Every believer must realize his number one enemy is his self, his old nature, his flesh. Number three, every believer must have a wall of protection to keep himself safe. Every believer must ignore the world's solutions to their problem. Number five, every believer must strengthen his new nature rather than his old nature. And the last one, every believer has to let go and let God. And I'll give you this in a nutshell. If you know the story of Jacob and Esau, right? It was a type of a struggle inside their mom. It was a type of their struggle inside their life. Jacob obviously tricked his dad. He didn't have to do that. God had said, I'll give it to you. He just messed up God's way of giving it to him. So he messed that up by getting ahead of God. So what he should have done was let go and let God. Then now we see him later in life. He ran from his brother, and then they made up and got back together, and now he's asking God to do something. And you know the story. He wrestled with God all night long. And what he's doing was like, well, my old nature wants this. In other words, he was making excuses. Well, this is why. Well, this is why I like this. This is why I would like to do this. Why? My old nature. And my new nature, I don't know. This and that. And he wrestled with God all night long. And you know the story. God wins. He usually does. But now Jacob has to go through the rest of his life limping. But he changed his name to Israel. So don't make excuses for the old nature. Suppress the old nature. Feed the new nature and express yourself with the new nature. And we see that Jacob wrestled with God all night in Genesis 32:28-30. But he got a new name. And if you read the verses, but he also got a new power. In other words, he sold out to God. And he called that place Peniel. It says here, because I've seen God face to face. And my life has never been the same. Just like Paul said in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Paul was saying, the hope of this world, the hope of heaven, the hope that this actually, God put it in us, is letting the new man outdo the old man. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of heaven. That's the hope of this world. That's the hope of Taylorsville. That's the hope of your home. Is everybody in your home letting the new man be stronger than the old man? It's going to be a struggle for the rest of our life, but we have to let go and let God. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth. Lord, everything that we face, Lord, somebody's faced something similar. Why? Because we have our flesh, our old nature. But the only way we're going to make it through anything is be saved, and one day you'll make all things right in heaven. But even down here, Lord, you can give us the strength. You can give us the protection. You can give us the ability. Lord, help us not fight you. Lord, help us just to go through life and not have to limp, not have to be taught. But Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to trust you, let go, and let God. In Jesus' name, amen.